Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 111. I'm Grant Paulson, joined as always by Toby Altizer, producer Darris Dameron, making everything sound smooth. The Nats have taken 2 of 3 from the Astros. Another series win. They've won 8 of their last 13 now, as they find themselves 10-11. Toby, hard not to be impressed with back-to-back wins over the Astros, and now a game from 500.
Yeah, it's crazy, right, Grant? They've won 3 out of their last 4 series. They went on the road. They had a 5-4 road trip. They took 2 of 3 from the Giants. They took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. They took 2 of 3 from the Astros when they came back home. And naturally, the only series they lost out of the last 4 was in Oakland to the A's, which they probably could have won that series, too, if it weren't for some different managerial decisions by Davey Martinez and the starting pitching. So they've had a good run here. This team is just one game below 500, and I don't know that they're surpassing expectations, because this is largely what we saw in the second half of last season. But, I mean, this is a team that is playing a lot of competitive baseball. It's really good to see that they're able to compete, and I'm excited to see what they can do the rest of the season. Like you mentioned in the start, CJ Abrams is looking like a superstar.
Yeah, we'll get into him in a second. Here's why I am impressed. I mean, it's one thing if they sweep the A's or something to get 3 of their 10 wins. And people forget that's the one series that they didn't win here recently. They take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, a potential World Series team. They take 2 of 3 from the Astros. I know they're off to a slow start, but that'll be a playoff team and another team good enough to win a World Series. They went out to San Francisco, took 2 of 3 from the Giants on the road cross country, which isn't easy. You got to go back to the Phillies series, other than the blip against the A's, which was, you know, right at the start of the first week of the year. So I think to be playing their projected win total, and I'm not saying that I didn't like the over, was what, 66, 65 and a half, whatever it was. And you know, you're playing basically 80 win baseball right now. So I like what they're doing, and particularly I like who they're doing it against. Most importantly, all year long, though, is going to be who is doing the, you know, heavy lifting. And if we just start with, as we're taping on Sunday, what a performance by Mitchell Parker. 7 innings of 3-hit scoreless ball, 7 shutout with no walks and 8 strikeouts. We told you that one of his bugaboos in the minor leagues had been off and on walks. That was kind of one of the big issues. He's never been hit that much, but the hits hurt you more when you've got runners on because you walk people, and that's been a problem for him. He's gone 12 innings and 2 starts, so an average of 6 per. 7 hits in 12 innings, which is pretty dominant. 12 strikeouts, and he's allowed 2 runs both in that first outing. He's got a 1.5 ERA. But just to give some specifics on his outing, Toby, I mean, pretty historical in the sense that he was just the 5th pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to strike out 12 without a walk in his first 2 games of his career. The list is Shota Imanaga this year, Tanner Bibee of the Guardians a year ago, Johnny Cueto back in the day, and Andy Sonnenstein way, way back when. He also is the first national to throw 7 shutout innings on fewer than 75 pitches. He did that on 73 pitches today. Could have gone back for the 8th. Davey didn't let him. First pitcher to throw 7 innings on 73 or fewer pitchers in all of baseball since Kyle Wright did it in August 2 years ago at Pittsburgh against a bad Pirates team. So he did it against the Astros lineup. Second straight win to start his career. So really, really impressive. Hard not to be happy for Mitchell Parker and about what he's done.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive because 8 strikeouts, only the 3 hits, and like you mentioned, no walks. I mean, this is something where you look at it and go, can Mackenzie Gore take a page out of this book? Because it's not like he gets hit around all the time, or if he does, it's weak contact. Whereas Mitchell Parker's out here pitching efficiently. He's still striking out batters, like I said, 8 strikeouts, and not walking anybody. You love the fact that he's pounding the zone. He did this in his first start at Dodger Stadium, which I think was so impressive, just on Jackie Robinson Day. All the hoopla, he goes out there, doesn't walk anybody, and then he follows it up. I mean, how about your first two starts as a major leaguer? You're going up against the Dodgers with Otani and Betts and Freeman, and then you don't even get a respite. You're going right back out there against the Astros, and you go do historic things, and you become the first Nats pitcher to make it through the seventh this year. And like you talked about, this team has had great starting pitching throughout its tenure. You've got Strauss, you've got Scherzer, you've got Gio Gonzalez, you got even Corbin, all these different guys, and none of them have gone through seven innings with that sort of efficiency. It's just incredible what Parker has done, and just watching the way that he's going about it too. It's not like it's some fluke. Like, some of the splitters he threw today as we record on Sunday were absolutely nasty. His fastball was working. The curve is good. Like, he's got some plus pitches. It'll be interesting to see how the league adjusts now that they've gotten, you know, 12 innings worth of work that they can look at. But he looks the part so far on the major league mound. And like you talked about, the big bugaboo that he's had in the minor leagues is walks. Hadn't walked anyone yet. So maybe this is something, if he just continues to be aggressive in the zone and lets his stuff do the work, I don't know, maybe they found something here with Mitchell Parker.
Yeah, we talked about when Jake Irvin came up last year, we kind of thought spot start, couple starts, you know, back of the rotation, not a whole lot of expectation. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, if Josiah Gray's ready to come back here soon, you know, they're going to have a tough decision to make. Not with JoJo, obviously, but somebody somewhere, because you can't take a guy out of the rotation, I wouldn't think, going the way that Parker is at 24 years old. Couple things that were better in this outing than his first one. Obviously, the pitching line speaks to that. But I mentioned when we talked about his first start, it was basically two pitches. It was just fastball, curveball, and that's predominantly been what he's been in the minors. This was not that. Fastball, 48% of the time. Curveball, 27% of the time. Splitter, 25% of the time. That is to say, he basically threw half of his pitches were fastballs, and then the curve and the splitter basically split in half, right, where he threw 20 curves, 18 splitters. So that's now a three-pitch mix, which is going to help you a lot. The splitter almost works as a changeup for him. It's got a little fade and that deception and a drop to it. As you said, a couple of nasty pitches in that regard. Fastball was not overpowering. You know, I was told he could run it up to 96, 97 maybe. We have not seen that yet, obviously. From the left side, he touched 93.6, so maxed out at 94, rounding up in this game, but curveball's about 81 miles an hour. Fastball was about 92. Splitter was in the mid-80s, around 85. It was just, you know, really efficient. I think I like the word you used, like an effective game plan. He executed perfectly against an outstanding lineup. It's hard not to pay him more compliments than that. Was the best start of the season by a National. And his two starts here back-to-back are probably the best two-start stretch a National has had this year.
Yeah, and it's something that's interesting. I mean, this is a guy that's made two major league starts now, and you wouldn't know it by how he conducts himself on the mound. I think it's impressive. You know, first start at Dodger Stadium, then your first start at Nats Park. You're facing good lineups, and he does this Kershaw thing where he raises his hands above his head, and maybe that's just his calming thing. But, you know, you see starting pitchers all the time get a little bit flustered in their first couple of starts, and they show a little bit of emotion. And I think this is just kind of Mitchell Parker's personality a little bit. He's very even keeled. I mean, you could hear in his post game interview after his first start at Dodger Stadium, he's not the most rambunctious guy of the group, but I think that's important for a guy where he stays very even keeled, and we haven't seen him have to go through too much stuff yet. I mean, the most he's given up is two runs and one in each inning. So he hasn't had anything like that yet. So he hasn't had crazy amounts of adversity on the mound, but I would think that when he starts facing some of that inevitably down the road, he's going to be able to remain even keeled. And I think that's important because, you know, I think having starts like he's had the first two starts of your major league career, not many guys can say that. Even the elite pitchers, they can struggle early on. So I'm excited to see what he can do. It's not like, you know, we're not throwing expectations that he's going to become the ace of the staff. But, I mean, this is like we talk about all the time. I don't know that they're the same pitcher, but we've talked about Irvin before, and Irvin was kind of, all right, he's going to come up and start here, or maybe he carves a role out in the bullpen, and he stuck all year in the staff and was able to be an effective part of the rotation last year. If Mitchell Parker can do that, I think that can help out this Nationals team, obviously this year, but going forward, I mean, they've got some guys that they're kind of fighting for those last couple of spots, because you figure Corbin's going to be done after this year, and Trevor Williams probably done after this year. So it's going to be something where, all right, who's going to take those spots? We thought maybe a Jackson Rutledge. Jake Irvin's kind of solidified himself. Now a Mitchell Parker's throwing his hat into the mix. You got to think, you know, obviously you've got Goran Gray and Cavalli coming back at some point. This is a team that we felt was going to be short on starting pitching. Now it's looking like it's not as bad. They still need that top-end guy. They need that ace, whether it's Gore stepping up and taking that spot or they have to sign one in free agency down the line. But it's never a bad thing when you've got this sort of depth. Even if they're just fourth and fifth starters, it's not a bad thing to have that many guys that are showing you that they can at least give you something at the major league level.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.